Just to review the main point from yesterday, we said that Kriyas HaMegillah is fundamentally different at night and by day. And if you'll open up for a second, if you have these pages, then let me just get the right page here. It should be on page Resh Samach Dalit. And Resh Samach, I'm sorry, Resh Samach Beis and Resh Samach Gimel. We came to the conclusion that based on the Masechta Sofrim, wait a second here. These pages. Yeah. The Masechta Sofrim is here on page Resh Ayin, which he again has as Ayin Resh, in the paragraph that starts with Hine. Do you have that? Oh, she don't have that?
No.
Are there any extra copies from yesterday? There should be.
I remember having it.
And if you look around here, you'll probably find them. So there were two points that we saw in the Masechta Sofrim that were strange. One was that the Masechta Sofrim, after having established that the mitzvah of Megillah requires both a kriya by laila and a kriya by day, then it repeats itself and says that we have a kriya by day. You've already told me that there's a kriya by day. The second strange thing about the Masechta Sofrim is that when he presents the second round, a chiyuv of kriya samagila by day, he embellishes it, he sort of integrates it together with the kriya satorah and the maftir b'novi. And he writes, Kishem Shekorim Batorah, Maftir Benovi Bayom, Kachaya Pemigil Lekrosa Bayom. And this is a bit strange because there's a mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah and there's a mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. I mean, Lechora, there's no overlap. So the Gurus Yitzhak suggests the following answer. He says that although the Iker Takana of Kriyas HaMegillah was the mitzvah of Kriya and Pirsum HaNes, there's another dimension to the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. And that is Kriyas HaTorah b'inyono shel yom, meaning to the extent to which we know that Megillas Esther is part of Tanakh, it's not inferior to any other part of the Torah. We're reading the Torah publicly on the day of Purim in the case of Kriyas HaMegillah. No, so it's not just the Kriyas HaParsha, let's say Parshas B'Shalach and then the story of Amalek, but we're also reading the Megillah itself. And the reason why the Masechta Sofrim repeats itself and emphasizes this Kriya by day is in order to add this extra dimension to Kriyas HaMegillah, the Kiyum of Kriyas HaTorah Binyano Shel Yom, which only applies by day. We never found a Kriya Binyano Shel Yom at night. We only have it by day. And this would justify the following conclusion, that Kriyas HaMegillah, like Kriyas HaTorah, become merged into one entity. So for example, if I were to ask you the following question, when do I read the Megillah? So you'll tell me, well, I can read the Megillah anytime until Shkia. But is there a preferential time? And you'll answer, well, Zrizim Akdim L'Mitzvah as the earliest time. No, it's much more than that. It's not just Zrizim Akdim L'Mitzvah, but we want to integrate these two aspects of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, because together they form one entity. And that's the kiyum of Kriyas HaTorah Binyano Shel Yom.
And then you would say you read it right after
Kriyas HaTorah. No, we should not be wedging anything in between. And this would explain perhaps the shita of the Orchas Chaim, which we started with, that on Purim the Mila should be performed after Kriyas HaMegillah. We should not wedge the Mila in between Kriyas HaTorah and Kriyas HaMegillah, as the Maharil in fact advocated, but rather we should wait until after Kriyas HaMegillah. Then and only then should we circumcise the baby, because we don't want to create any sort of a breakdown between the Kriyas HaTorah and the Kriyas HaMegillah. So Kriyas HaMegillah is certainly a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and at night it's also a mitzvah Talmud Torah, although he does quote the Brisker Rav as saying that from the Gemara Mevatlin Talmud Torah Mikra Megillah, you get the impression Mikra Megillah is not Talmud Torah, but that only means that you're not reading a bit Torah as Torah. But it certainly is a key of Talmud Torah. Nobody would deny that. But when it gets to the morning and the Kriya of the Megillah by day, that's a whole different story. That's not just Talmud Torah. It's upgraded to a special status of Torah Minyan Shel Yom, which is Takana on behalf of the Tzibur, to read something from the Torah that reflects on the nature of the day. And the day itself generates that Chiyuv. If that be the case, then we can begin to understand the issue about Kaddish. And the question is, when should the Shatz recite Kaddish Sholem? So the Sefer HaMinhagim is quoted here as saying that Ein HaShatz Omer Tiskabel, right? He says, we're going to postpone the recitation of Kaddish Tiskabel until after Kriyas HaMegillah. We're not going to wedge it in between the completion of Tfilas Shmona Esrei and immediately follow with Kaddish Tiskabel, because that would separate the Kriyas HaTorah from the Kriyas HaMegillah, and it's all one entity. And we spoke about the concept, which he mentions here on page Reish Ayin Aleph, of integrating Tefillah and Torah into one entity. So the public reading of the Torah is part of Tefillah. The Rambam codifies all the laws of Kriyas HaTorah and Hilchas Tefillah, because Kriyas HaTorah is not just structured haphazardly in connection with Tefillah, but rather it's an integral part of Tefillah, because it's one kiyum of serving Hashem through both Kriya and through Tefillah. So the Tefillah and the Kriya synthesize to generate one entity. Now, if we're adding Kriyas HaMegillah into this whole enterprise of Kriyas HaTorah, then we want to get the Megillah, like its predecessor, the Kriyas HaTorah of Parshas B'Shalach, linked up and integrated into the Tefillah itself. And therefore the Kaddish Tiskabel will be postponed until after Kriyas HaMegillah. That's what we had yesterday. And just to summarize what we did yesterday, you'll see it on page Reish Ayin Beis. He doesn't want to call it a famine, so he calls it Ayin Reish Beis. Yeah, I didn't catch why the letters were switched around, but it just occurred to me. In the paragraph that starts Me'ata, let's just go over the highlights of that paragraph, because that gives us basically an overview of everything we accomplished in this wonderful presentation. He says that we begin to understand the Minhagim, that the Sefer Minhagim says that the Kaddish Tiskabel should be postponed until, I'm sorry, that the Sefer Minhagim in the case, I'm sorry, there's daytime and nighttime. So in the case of Megillus Esther by day, we're going to postpone the Kaddish Tiskabel until when? Till after Kriyas HaMegillah. But the Sefer Minhagim says at night we're going to recite Kaddish Sholem and Kaddish Tiskabel, meaning immediately after the completion of Shmon Esrei, before the reading of Megillah. And the answer is because what's pushing us to postpone Kaddish Tiskabel till after Kriyas HaMegillah is this Kiyum of Kriyas HaTorah. And that Kiyum of Kriyas HaTorah in Megillah only applies to the Kriya by day. And that we saw in Masechet Sofrim, and that's basically just a reflection of the universal rule that Kriyas HaTorah is always by day. So therefore at night, we're going to recite Kaddish Tiskabel immediately after Shmon Esrei, because the Megillah at night is a separate entity. And in fact, there's no reason to read the Megillah immediately after the end of Tefillah, except for Zrizim Aktivim. We might as well read the Megillah in the middle of the night. But by day, there the Kriyas HaMegillah is elevated to another dimension, namely of that of Kriyas HaTorah. Well, Kriyas HaTorah should be attached to Tefillah, as we saw, because of that shiluv, that integration of Tefillah and Torah. And therefore now, says the Minhagim, we're going to postpone the Kaddish Sholem until after the Kriyas HaMegillah. That's point number one. Then as far as Mila is concerned, well, Mila is always by day, so the Mila should be postponed, says the Beis Yosef, until after Kriyas HaMegillah. And the reason is because we need what's called Siyum HaTfila. Right? We don't want to interrupt in the middle of Tefillah. So we want to wait and postpone the Mila until Siyum HaTfila. Now the Siyum HaTfila, you could argue ostensibly, is after we finish Shmon Esrei, but no. We're going to say that the Siyum HaTfila is after Kriyas HaTorah. Okay, so you'll argue, well, that's the Kriya of Parshas B'Shalach. But what does it have to do with Kriyas HaMegillah? The answer is, now that we've seen that by day we have a double Kiyum in Megillah, it's not only the regular mitzvah of Kriya and Pirsum HaNes, but it's also the Kiyum of Kriyas HaTorah, Me'inyon Shel Yom. Now it has to be integrated into the fabric of Tefillah, and therefore we're not going to wedge the Mila in between Kriyas HaTorah and Kriyas HaMegillah, but rather we're going to postpone the Mila until after the Kriyas HaMegillah. And that brings us to the paragraph that starts with the word Vehine on the top of the column. There's another Vehine. And Tosus says in Megillah that even though we recite Shachiyonu at night, we should still repeat Shachiyonu by day. And the question is why? So Tosus gives one reason, but we can offer a second possibility. Tosus' reason is because Iker Pirsum HaNes is by day. In other words, Megillah at night is lacking a certain luster, a certain extra dimension, a kiyum of Pirsum HaNes. Whereas by day, that's the mitzvah of Pirsum HaNes. So at night we have a mitzvah of Kriya, and by day we have another mitzvah of Kriya plus Pirsum HaNes. And Tosus proves it from the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'laila v'lo dumyali, which means that we have to read the Megillah at night. You know, it's even though we read it by day, or we will read it tomorrow by day on Purim, nevertheless you have to read Megillah at night. But you see clearly that the Iker Kriya is by day. The Rush says that the Iker Kriya is by Yom. Yoser mi b'laila, disnan, Kalayom kasha l'kriya samigilah. Lefisha eina ikar kriya balayla. So basically, the Tosus and the Rush both present pretty much the identical theory, the thesis that the ikar kriya is by day because of the element of Pirsum HaNes, which exists by day. And therefore the Mishnah goes out of its way to say Kol HaYom Kasha L'Kriya HaMegillah. It never says Kol HaLaila Kasha L'Kriya HaMegillah, because the Mishnah is not interested in the secondary mitzvah of Kriya B'Laila, but rather the primary mitzvah of Kriya B'Yom, where the Iker Pirsum HaNes is by day.
Why is that?
I guess because you remember what we had at Shetichla Regel and a Shuk, meaning there's certain time periods in which there's no one out there in the Shuk, people are already retiring for the night. So the Pirsum HaNes is when you do it by day. Like, for example, the mitzvah of Sudas Purim is by day, and Shloch Manos is by day. All these mitzvahs indicate that we're being involved in the nest by day. There's a separate halach of Lo Dumyuli. In fact, if you take a look at the Gemara on Daf Dalet of Lo Dumyuli, the Gemara means to derive from that pasuk that Esther is crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at night. And that's based on the pasuk of Keli Keli Lama Zavtani, which is Tilim Chav Beis, if I remember correctly. In that chapter, the Gemara says is what Esther said at the time of the Gzeirah of Haman when she went into Achashverosh, etc., etc. So the kriya at night is basically a fundamentally different kind of kriya than the kriya by day. It's not really person by nest. It's more the situation of Klal Yisrael. We're so desperate and so dependent upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is there for Malayla Lo Dumyuli. I can't be silent at night. But in terms of the positive kima, person by nest, that's by day. And he says, therefore, Lefidere Mishnah Noktai Kriya B'Yimama. According to the Rosh, he mentions Kriya D'Imama because that's the Ikar Kriya. Is Ein Lanu Al Chacham Mishnah D'Milvad Chiyuv Kriya Midin Pirsum Anes Yeshno Od Chiyuv Kriya Mishum Losa De Talmud Torah. So we would have wanted to prove it. We would have wanted to prove that if the Mishnah says that Kol Hayom Kasha LeKriya Samigila, maybe the Mishnah means for the Kiyum of Kriya Sat Torah, but no. It has to do with the mitzvah of Pirsum HaNes, which is during the day. Now, it's very interesting that when the Gemara presents these two obligations, namely to read the Megillah by day and to read the Megillah by night, the Gemara starts with the Kriya by Yom. And, I'm sorry, just the reverse. The Gemara presents it to start in a chronological way. So, which chiyuv is the Gemara going to mention first?
Lila.
Excuse me, Lila. But the pasuk itself is very odd because the pasuk says, "Elokai ekra yomam velo sane velaila lo dumyuli." So the pasuk actually switches the sequence around and begins with the kriya of day, and therefore Tosis and the Rosh, as we saw before, see in this sequence the Iker Mitzvah of Kriya. The Iker Mitzvah of Kriya is by Yom. Lila is sort of a tag on. It's a secondary addition. And therefore, when the Pasuk indicates the Chiyuv of Kriya, it starts with Yomam. However, if you look at Masechta Sofrim that we quoted earlier on page Reish Ayin, there you'll see Amar Rab Levi Megillus Esti Tzorech Lekrosa Bolila. Here's a different pasuk. Leman is a merchavod, which is balayla. Velo yidom, which is bayom. In other words, according to the Masechta Sofrim, the pasuk itself, even though it doesn't mention day before night, but it's interpreted by the Masechta Sofrim to refer to Lila first and then Yom second. Now, that's an interesting drasha, because the way we saw in the Bavli of Elokai Ekra Yomam is Kriya Bayom comes first, and that reflects the fact that Iker Kriya is Bayom. But the way we see it in the Masechta Sofrim, it sounds like the Iker Kriya is Balayla, because he starts with Lila. This takes us up to the word Venire, if you're following the text inside, which on page Ayin Reish Beis, as he calls it. I would call it Reish Ayin Beis because I'm hungry. Anyway, so if you count up five lines from the end of the page, Venire, Diladrashas Masechta Sofrim, Mitzvahs Kriya Samigilim, Din Persume Nisa, Kriya Delilo, Kriya Dimama Shavim Hain. In other words, you remember there were two paragraphs in the Masechta Sofrim. The first paragraph was presenting Pirsum HaNes, and the second paragraph was presenting Kriyas HaTorah. So in the first paragraph, when he quotes this pasuk of L'mayin Yisavech Chavod, he's talking about Pirsum HaNes, and in the view of the Masechta Sofrim, and this, Dr. Joel, you'll be happy to hear, there's no difference between Kriya B'Layla and Kriya B'Day. They both measure up to the same level of Pirsum HaNes. And therefore, there's no reason why Kriyas HaYom has to come before Kriyas HaLayla. And the drasha should be in a sequential way, first Lila and then Yom. We only saw in the Bavli that the Bavli quoted the Pasuk Elokai Ekra Yom Avlosane. The Pasuk indicates that we have to reverse the Seder, and therefore we say Kriyas Hayom Ikar. That's the Ikar Kriya. And that's why in the drasha of the Bavli, we're going to start with Kriyas Hayom. But in the Masechta Sofrim, who's trying to point out that both Kriyas are equal, and they both reflect and fulfill the kiyum of Pirsimanes. Therefore, the Brisa goes in sequential order, in chronological order. We start with Lila, and then we go on to day, and that's the drasha from the Pasuk L'mayin Zemecha Chavod, which is interpreted by the Masech Sofrim as Bal Lila. So Lila comes first. Bal Yidom is Bayom. Ulahachi Ochiach Hamasech the Sofrim Meach Mishnah the Kol Yom Kasha LeKriyas Hamegila. Yesh Din Nosaf the Kriya the Yomama. In other words, now the Masech the Sofrim goes on and quotes the halach of Kol Hayom Kosher LeKriyas HaMegila. Again, let's read it in the Masechta Sofrim, back on page Ayin Resh, as he calls it, in the paragraph of Hine on the right column. He says, Ba'alocha Yud Tes, that's four lines down, Kishem Shekor Batoru, Maftir B'Novi B'Yom, Kach Chayev B'Megila LeKriyas HaBayom, and then he quotes a pasuk, and then he says, Kol Hayom Kosher LeKriyas HaMegila. So why did he add this additional formulation of the principle of halacha that the whole day is kosher for Kriyas HaMegillah, when in truth, even as far as Lila is concerned, he could have given us the same spiel, namely tell us that the entire Lila is kosher for Kriyas HaMegillah? And the answer is because now the Masechta Sofrim wants to derive and establish a separate kiyum of reading the Megillah by day as part of the mitzvah of Torah, of Talmud Torah, Minyano Shel Yom. And that Minyano Shel Yom extends through the entire day. That's why the Mishnah wants to emphasize that Kol Hayom Kosher LeKriyas HaMegillah. And this takes us up to the last paragraph here, Vehine. And he says, Hodis Nam Megil, the Kol Hayom Kosher LeKriyas HaMegillah, Pishrashi Afagav the Kaimel and Zuzim Akdim LeMitzvahs. And he quotes the Pasuk by Yashkev Avram, Afilu Achi Kosher Kol HaLaila. So the Rashi doesn't mention that the Iker Mitzvah is to read the Megillah immediately after Shachris. You remember, we wanted to replace this reason with a more fundamental, far-reaching halacha that we should integrate the Kriyas HaMegillah into the fabric of Tefillah. And we can only do that if immediately after Tefillah we read the Megillah. Rashi's not laid back about it. All Rashi needs is Zrizim Makdim LeMitzvahs. Beyond that, the whole day is just as good for Kriyas HaMegillah. You know, as long as you get it in before Shkia, Rashi would hold, that's okay. So he says that Rashi holds like Tosfos and the Rosh, that the Kriya by day is not midin Kriyas Talmud Torah, which means the Zman is Shachris, but the only reason we read by day is because of the Kiyum of Pirsumei Nisa. And if there's a kiyum of Pirsumei Nisa, that's why we're reading by day. That is basically the same mitzvah that we did Balaila, and therefore Tosfos and the Rosh have to come up with this new chiddush of Ikar Kriya B'Yom. There are more than Ma'aril. They paskin that we should circumcise the child before Kriyas HaMegillah, because they hold that Kriyas HaMegillah is a separate independent mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, and therefore it doesn't have to be integrated with the Kriya of Parshas B'Shalach. And in fact, it means that Tosfos and Rashi are in agreement here, that the nature of the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah is simply Pirsum Hanes. That's where it begins, and that's where it ends. They're not willing to set up an integration of Kriyas HaMegillah into the fabric of Tefillah and assume, like we saw in the Masechta Sofrim, that Kriyas HaMegillah is a kiyum of Kriyas HaTorah Minyan Shel Yom. Is therefore, if you're left with Kriyas HaMegillah as a separate entity, then why should we be in a rush to read the Megillah when we have a bris milah in front of us, right? Every second that you delay the bris milah, it's like a bittul mitzvah saseh. Let's model the child the first possible moment, meaning after the mitzvah tefillah is complete. and therefore we don't have to push off the meal until after Kriya Samigil. That's all according to this Shita that holds that Kriya Samigil by Yom and Kriya Samigil by Laila is one entity, just that Ikar Pirsun Anes is by Yom, and that would justify the Shechiyonu. Is Lekach Yichol Lomu Kodim Kriya Samigil. Ulam. Now we're up to the word ulam. That's on the left column, about six lines down from the top. Lamavusha maral maril sovir the afkriya the imamah mitzvasagak mishum persume nisa and will ain kriyas and mitzvahs kriya shel talmud Torah. Kevin the boy lahasmith mila lit Torah is malim kodim kriya samigila li achar kriyas ha Torah ulam har cheskayim vachumus adesh and sovir the kriya samigila biyom isbe din. Kriya shel Talmud Torah shedina she yikru osa tekef li achar yudches v'lo yafsik b'mila kodem ha megila. In other words, we're going to postpone the meal until after Kriya Shel Megillah, as we discussed earlier. Now, I want to tell you a little bit of a story and see if you can derive something from this story about Kriya Samigila. Or shall I say, apply this story to a similar case in Megillah. He says the following. Let me just see if I can make sure I find the place. Maisa She'ira. Okay, let me just tell you where I'm getting this from. This is a book that's called Rishimas Shi'urim, which means the Talmidim of Rav Soloveitchik wrote up their summaries of the Shi'urim, and this is the volume on Masechta Brachos, and we're on page Yud Aleph. I don't have to say Aleph Yud, I could say Yud Aleph, because there's no... Okay. Maisa She'ira Bebeis Knesses Shel Hagram Zal. So I'm guessing that this took place in the city of Chaslavich, I'm not sure. And today, of course, is Gimel Shvat, which is the yard site of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, so therefore let's say something over in his name. Balkore Kos HaLetzibur. Somehow he was angry at the Tzibur. Maybe they voted against his getting a life contract. Maybe they reduced his salary. I don't know what happened, but he got angry at the Tzibur. Therefore, Achrei Kriyas HaTorah, he waited until after he read the Torah. Hodia Barabim, he makes a public declaration. Shehu hiskavin shalolo tziyam b'kriyas haTorah. He had a deliberate decision that he's not going to be motzi them in Kriyas haTorah. Do me something, right? So now the people come over to Rav Moshe and they ask him, Ha'im anachnu mechuyavim lachsev l'shmo Kriyas haTorah? We weren't yotze because he didn't have kavanah to be motzi us. Pasak lehem agram. Zatzal she'edam mechuyavim lachzor v'lishma kriyas haTorah mishum sheyotzu yidei chovasam gam below kavanas hakorei lohotzia. Now we have a principle in Shomea Ka'one that when I listen to your shofar, I listen to your kiddush, I listen to your lechora kriyas haMegillah for sure, you have to have in mind, if you're being motzimi, that you want to be motzimi. I have to have in mind that I want to be Yotze. We need Kavanas Mashmiya and Kavanas Shomea. If that be the case, then this Psak of Rav Moshe, Lechora, at first glance, is very startling, very, very, very ambiguous, very confusing, because how can you be Yotze Kriyas HaTorah if the Balkori himself, whose Kriya you wanted to hear, had in mind that you shouldn't be Yotze? So Rav Moshe said, "The din kriyas haTorah miskayim bozeh shaTorah nikreis b'tzibur." He says it's not an act of kriya which has to relate or has to be connected to each individual, but rather Torah has to be written, has to be read. You know, it's like a din in the Torah itself that the Torah has to be read in the tzibur. V'lo tzarach kavanas balkorei lahotzias haTzibur. So again, it's not like a classic case of Shomei Ka'onu, which means that you're obligated in this mitzvah, you have to implement the Maisa mitzvah, I have to obligate, so I have in mind when I do this, and you have in mind when you hear me, that you'll be Yotze. You have to make Kiddush, I have to make Kiddush. So I'm going to make Kiddush on your behalf, and Shomei Ka'ona, because I want to make Kiddush for you. And so forth and so on. And every single mitzvah, we apply Shomei Ka'ona if there's Kavana of the person to be Motzi everyone else. But here, in the case of Kriyas HaTorah, the halacha never required us to do a Maisa Kriya. That's not what the mitzvah is. The mitzvah is defined as the Torah itself should be read publicly. Whenever we have the public together, then we have to read the Torah, and that's Moshe Rabbeinu's takana, that we shouldn't go three days without Kriyas HaTorah, but it means that the Torah should be read.
Is it because it's implicit that you can't read the Torah not being a minyan? He can't read the Torah for himself.
Right.
So how could he read the Torah and not be motzi them when they are the ones who they're mafsher it?
Ah, well, yes and no. I mean, let's say there are 20 people in the audience and he would have kavana that 10 of them should not be yotzi.
But that's not what he said.
Asking you. Do you believe that in that case the 10 people that he excluded would have to read the Torah again? I don't believe so. Why? Because his point is that even the 10 people that he excluded in his kavana are not obligated in Kriyas HaTorah. But rather, the Torah has to be read. In this case, the Torah has to be read mitzivur, and that's a precondition. But no one has the mitzvah of kriya. It's not like any other amira or any other recitation. Let's say if I'm reading the Haggadah on your behalf, I have to have you in mind. If I'm reading Kiddush before,
it would have been with Parshas Zohar.
Oh, but maybe Parshas Zohar would be different. That's interesting. We'll get to that in a minute.
Please. If I miss the word of Megillah, I have to listen to it again. But that's not true of Torah. There's a big difference between listening to Megillah and listening to Torah.
Wait a second, you're already mamish. I felt I had, you know, I had a very auspicious opportunity to compare a Moshe to Kriyas HaMegillah. You're already there. Okay, good. So let me put my head on. You know, I was about to, when we finished with Moshe, I was about to embark on a comparison to Megillah. Moshe. So what are you saying? That in the case of Megillah, what were you saying again? Say it one more time.
Moshe is saying that I have no chiyuv to hear the Megillah, to hear the Torah being read.
No, Chas v'Shalom. That's not what Moshe means. He's saying that the kriya itself is not obligatory. The obligation is that the Torah be read, I have an obligation to listen to the Torah. Meaning, if I stand outside the shul, Rav Moshe understands very well that I'm not Yotze. The question is whether the Baal Koreh has to link up his kriya with you.
But I don't have to hear it.
Yeah, you have to hear it.
I do not have to hear it. I don't have to hear the Torah being read. It has to be read.
On Mondays and Thursdays and Shabbos,
I have to go find another minion.
You have to go find another minion.
Very straight.
Rav Soloveitchik himself would get off a plane from Boston, and if he missed Kriyas HaTorah, he would gather together the 9 other people in order to read the Torah. Question is how many aliyahs he had. Okay, we're not going to go into that whole discussion right now.
Okay.
Reb Chaim Brisker, when he was on a train from Brisk to Bialystok, and he realized it's time for Kriyas HaTorah, there's only one shtetl, by the time he gets to his destination, he'll miss Kriyas HaTorah, he would get off the train in the middle of the train trip in order to hear Kriyas HaTorah. I don't think Reb Moshe is disagreeing with his father, Reb Chaim. He's just pointing out that although our chiyuv is a chiyuv kriya, as far as the Baal Koreh is concerned, his job, his responsibility is just to create a kriya. There's an entity called Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. And once that entity has been generated, now every individual could listen to that kriya, and he has in mind that he wants to be yotze and fulfill his mitzvah, and he can do so. What about Kavanas HaMashmiya? The Koreh himself wanted to exclude him. That's none of his business. That's outside of his purview, because he doesn't have a kriya that has to relate to the shmiya. He just has a kriya that creates this entity, this chefetz shel Torah. And I'll get back to the phrase chefetz shel Torah in a minute. I mean, right now he hasn't used that term chefetz shel Torah. I'm going to try to make a big deal. Now, Rav Moshe needs a raya. How does he know that there's no chiyuv kriya? There's only a chiyuv to create this entity called Torah, that the Torah should be read. Bitzibur. He says, Raya Ledover, I have a proof for this. Because the Gemara establishes in Masechta Megillah and Dafchav Gimel that Katan Ola Leminyan Zion. We need 7 kruim, and one of them is a Katan. Which means that if he goes up and he reads the Torah, then the Tzibur is Yotze, their Chiyu, by hearing the Kriya of the Katan. So Rav Moshe asks the following obvious question. The Katan himself is a Lav Bar Chiyuva. So if you're going to require that he has kavanah to be motzi you, then you have to assume that he himself is bar chiyuv. The whole enterprise of having kavanah to be motzi someone is predicated on the fact that the person who's doing this mitzvah is obligated to the mitzvah. In the case of a kadin, that's impossible. Muchach. What we see from this is the yisod kriyas haTorah, the definition of kriyas haTorah, who shetehei haTorah nikreis b'tzibur, and the katan himself. Again, you have to see all the conditions, how old he is, and so forth. He can implement, he can create a kriya of Torah b'tzibur. Once he creates that, even though he cannot be motzi me, I don't have to have him be motzi me. I'm just yotzei my chiyuv of shmiya by listening to a kriya b'tzibur. And the Katan created kriya b'tzibur. As I say in the Gemara Megillah, that you can't blame Rav Moshe for. You can come up with maybe a different explanation of the Gemara, I don't know. But Rav Moshe understood the Gemara that the chiddush of the Gemara is that a Katan is all in shiva, meaning his kriya engenders or generates a kriya, meaning an entity of Torah. And now all the shomim could be yotzei. But there's no element here of kavanah lahotzi, because says Rav Moshe, the yisod and the definition of the mitzvah is not that your kriya has to relate to me. It's rather that your kriya has to create an entity, and then I dip in, I can attach myself to that entity. I wanted to point out, on the day of Rav Moshe's yahrzeit, that I believe that Rav Moshe is extending his father's chidushim. Let me explain. Rav Chaim was very famous for answering a question of the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef himself offered a different answer, and Rav Chaim says you don't need it. The question is automatically answered. What was the question of the Beis Yosef? In Shulchan Aruch, Siman Lamed Zayin, we paskin that a woman recites Birchas HaTorah. Now the Beis Yosef himself, who accepts the Rambam Shita, says the following. Any mitzvah which is voluntary, you drop the bracha. So for example, according to the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef, if a woman blows shofar on Rosh Hashanah, no bracha. Again, for us that sounds very strange because we're Ashkenazim. So we accept the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. But let's go with the sheet of the Rambam and the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch. As Sephardic women will tell you, they will not make a bracha on a mitzvah seishas vayin groven because it's only voluntary. They cannot recite Asher Kitshon mitzvosim. Yet, paradoxically, the Beis Yosef himself accepts the opinion of the Tur that a woman will recite on a daily basis Birchas HaTorah. And yet we have a drasha, v'shinanton levanecha v'lo levnosecha, a woman is exempt from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Now, you could have said, based on Rabbeinu Tam, that if she opted to learn Torah, so that was a voluntary move on her part, and that would make sense that she makes the bracha, because Rabbeinu Tam says that a woman makes a bracha on any mitzvah seishas vayin groven that she opts voluntarily to fulfill, like shofar and the rest. But according to the Beis Yosef, we're involved in what you might call, at least on the surface of it, a stira b'nei ube. Because how can you maintain on the one hand that a woman does not make a bracha asher kitshon mitzvosim if she's only accepting the mitzvah voluntarily, and on the other hand say that she'll recite Birchas HaTorah? So Rav Chaim was very famous, and he said the following. The answer to the Beis Yosef's question, Beis Yosef said that a woman is obligated in Talmud Torah, certain parts of Torah. But Rav Chaim was not willing to accept that, because Rav Chaim held that any limud that she's obligated is only b'toras mitzvah. It's not b'toras Talmud Torah. Like, for example, you tell her that she has to learn the laws of Nido, and she has to learn the Chala and so forth. You mentioned that Gemara the other day, right? So that's only because of the mitzvah of Chala. You know, I can't expect her to fulfill the mitzvah of Chala, the mitzvah of Nida, unless she learns the laws. But that's not Talmud Torah, according to Rav Chaim. Here Rav Chaim, by the way, was standing on the shoulders of his father, the Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi was very emphatic that any chiyuv of Talmud Torah on a woman to learn these halachas or those halachas, that should be assigned as a subcategory of those mitzvahs, but it's not a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So in any event, comes along Rav Chaim and he says the following. That there's something called a cheftza shel Torah. Torah is an entity. It's like a living, tangible being. For example, if Torah is being studied here, then we can't have a Dover Erva here or a Dover Sheltsoa, right? There's certain laws that apply to the circumference or the radius that surrounds someone who's learning Torah. Why? Because there's an entity of Torah. So Chaim suggested that the bracha on Torah is not your classic bracha on a mitzvah, but rather it's a bracha on the Torah itself, the entity of Torah. A woman, no less than a man, can create an entity of Torah. That's why the Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah, you have to be careful about what you teach a woman, but if she opts to learn, let's say, Torah Shebuksav, which is not called Tiflis, the Rambam says, Tishhi Mekabel Eschar, she'll get rewarded. We can see the Rambam inside, if you like. Why? Because a woman has an entity of Torah. Anyone who has an entity of Torah can be makayim that mitzvah voluntarily. So if you'll say, well, you can't make a bracha on a voluntary mitzvah, that's not the bracha of Torah. The bracha on Torah is because kishem Hashem ekra, when there's a kriya of Torah and there's an entity of Torah, havu godol elokeinu. On that Torah, we have to thank Hashem, we have to praise Him with a bracha. And therefore, a woman will make, will recite Birchas HaTorah on a daily basis, not on the Chovas Gavra, because she's exempt from the Mitzvah Talmud Torah, but on the entity of Torah. And she herself could create, Shem Hashem Ekra, an entity of Torah. So for example, if a woman would want to think about Torah in a bathhouse, or in front of a something repulsive, it's a tzoah, then she would be enjoined from doing so, because she, no less than the man, has a Chavetz Shel Torah. And that Chavetz Shel Torah cannot be brought into a makom metuna. So I think that Rav Moshe is maybe taking this a step further. And he's saying that just like Rav Chaim holds with regard to a yachid, my own individual chiv to learn Torah, that I have a creation of a Chavetz Shel Torah, and the bracha itself is on that entity called Torah. And therefore, even if I'm not obligated in Torah, but if at least I can create an entity of Torah, like the case of an Isha, then I'll make the bracha on the Torah. So Rav Moshe, I think, is going one step further. And he's saying, forgetting about the bracha for a moment, we'll put that on the side, let's talk about the mitzvah per se. Does the mitzvah per se generate a chovas gavra? Or is there something called an entity of Torah? Again, he doesn't use the word chavetz shel Torah, but I think, in my humble opinion, that that's what should have been written here. These, again, these are just notes of Talmidim. But that what the Gram was trying to tell us is that there's an entity called a Chavetz Shel Torah. The Tzibur, all the members of this collective unit that heard that Kriya, they can dip into and hear that Chavetz Shel Torah, and then they fulfill their obligation. Comes along the Baal Korah, and he says, I got angry at the Tzibur, I'm not interested in being Motzi then. It's totally irrelevant. Why? Because the circumference of his domain is just to create an entity of Torah. Once he creates that Chavetz Shel Torah, now the tzibur just has to hear that Chavetz Shel Torah. They can have in mind to be Yotze, and they will fulfill their obligation. Now, Osh asks me about the mitzvah of Zechiras Amolek. So there are certain kriyos that seem to deviate from the classical definition of Kriyas HaTorah, and they reflect an absolute chiyuv of a mitzvah. For example, the Torah says that once a year I have to remember Amalek. And we've discussed in the past that the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek has to be fulfilled through Kriyas HaTorah. And if that be the case, then my obligation is a personal obligation to read the Torah. So in such a case, if the Kore, the Baal Kore, is not willing to be magnanimous about it and allow me to be Yotze, if he wants to exclude me, then his Kriya will not relate to me and I might need a brand new Kriya. But I wanted to suggest the following. Where does Rav Moshe fit into Kriyas HaMegillah? What would happen if I would read the Megillah? I don't mean I, Azariah Barzan, but, the royal we. And the I who reads the Megillah says, you know what, I'm angry at the Tzibur. I don't want the Tzibur to be Yotze with my Kriya. So there are 100 people, 1,000 people in the audience, and no one's going to be Yotze. So if you take a look in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchus Megillah, so he writes the following. Let's see if I can find this. I'll tell you what I'm looking for. I think it's here in Tafei Sadi, but again, I have to find it. And he's going to tell us that the Baal Korei has to have in mind to be Motzi the Tzibur. Where is the Mechaber? Maybe it's in I thought it's in Tofesh Tzadi. The chorus on this, you mean, a few shnayim, Yotzim and Hashmi. So where does he? Okay. I hope I'm not inventing something. I'm pretty sure I saw this, but again, to find it is always chorus on Megillah. Okay, so I'm not finding it right this second. Anybody want to help me out here? Just maybe flip around. It should be right here somewhere.
Maybe you can see.
Oh, 1 second. Maybe I found it. Just give me a second. Apple P. Oh. Afal pi she yotza kfar is mevorech lahotzi es ha'acher. Lahotzi es ha'acher. Okay, I'm not finding it now. Maybe it's earlier. I'm sorry, I apologize for this, but I know I saw it. I'm not inventing it. Maybe it's in Tafresh. Hey Zion, let's see just for a second. Echad Kori Vechad Shomea Min Kori Yotzi Yidei Chovaso. Who she Yishma Mipi Misha Chayov. Anyway, somewhere I saw, but I'm afraid maybe it was in the Mishnah Berurah, and to find the Mishnah Berurah is not so easy, that we have to tell the Baal Koreh to have in mind to be Motzi the Tzibur, and it's like Shofar, where the Baal Tokeah has to have in mind to be Tokeah on behalf of the Tzibur.
You could see the difference in the brachas, the fact the brachas.
Okay, I was going to talk about the brachas too, but see if you can find this. I hope I'm not inventing it.
The Baal Koreh for the Torah, he doesn't make the bracha. Somebody else makes the bracha. Baal Koreh for the Megillah has to be the one making the bracha, the Yotzei.
Not really. I mean, were you here when we discussed the great length? Who was with me? Oh, that was Reuven. Okay. Anyway, the Shulchan Aruch says explicitly that the Baal Koreh doesn't have to make the brachas. In fact, in the case of an Ovel, he's not allowed to make
Torah and Megillah.
Megillah. Oh, you're talking about Sefer Torah?
I'm saying the difference is that when somebody reads the Torah, like we have other people come up and make the bracha, and the Baal Koreh reads it.
Right. We separate between the Baal Koreh and the Mevarech. Same thing applies to Megillah as well. In the case of an Ovel, it has to be that way. In other cases, it depends if you want to give the president of the shul an extra cover.
Okay,
I don't remember who was there, but anyway.
I was there.
So you'll find that in Shulchan Aruch. Again, everything I'm telling you is in Shulchan Aruch. I just don't always remember how to find it. But now that we said that Kriya Bayom has an extra dimension to it, namely it's Kriya Satorah, and that's how we justify the Minhagim that we should postpone the meal until after Kriya Samegillah and the Kaddish Tiskabel after the Kriya Samegillah. If that be the case, then Rav Moshe's Psak in the case of Kriya Satorah could be relevant to Kriya Samegillah. But you'll ask me again. I'm assuming I'm going to find it in Shulchan Aruch that he says that the Baal Koreh the Megillah has to have in mind to be Motzi the Tzibur. That's as far as the Kiyum of Kriya is concerned. In other words, the mitzvah of Kriya Samegillah has two dimensions to it. There's a mitzvah of Kriya, and there's a mitzvah of Kriya Satorah, meaning Talmud Torah, Minyan Shalyom. So as far as Talmud Torah, Minyan Shalyom, all we're asking from the whole domain of the Baal Koreh is just to create this entity called Torah, Minyan Shalyom. whether he has a mind to be motzumi or not is irrelevant. He can even have a mind not to be motzumi v'dafka. But as far as the kiyum of kriya is concerned, then we go back to the universal principle of shomei kohen. So if, let's say, you're in a situation where you know that the Baal Koreh is not, you know, is not interested in your being motzi, or maybe he doesn't know you exist, whatever the case may be, would it be meaningful for you to hear the Megillah? Or would it just be a waste of time? You know, you have better things to do with your time. So I would suggest the following. Here's the difference between Kriya B'Laila and Kriya B'Yom. In Kriya B'Laila, which is a mitzvah of Kriya, and Pirsum Hanes, if he wants to exclude you, or he doesn't have your mind, it's a futile effort. But if, on the other hand, you're talking about Kriya B'Yom, and if I assume that Kriya B'Yom comes under the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, and it's Talmud Torah, then from that perspective, I could link into, right, I could hook on to the entity of Torah that he created, and it would be meaningful. Another nafkamina might be, what happens if I have no one to read the Megillah except for Kata? Could he read the Megillah? So if he asks me as far as Shomei Kohone, well, he's a La Bar Chiyuva, I can't be Yotzi with his Kriya. But if he asks me from the perspective of Kriya Satorah, we have Allah in the Masechta Megillah, not in Megillah, but it says that Kata Nolan Leminyan Shiva. So maybe at least I would achieve one dimension of the mitzvah of Kriya HaMegillah, and that would be the dimension of Kriya HaTorah of Talmud Torah. Now, another question I wanted to ask is, would there be Shachiyonu Bayom? Again, or the Rishonim say the Shachiyonu Bayom because of Iker Mitzvah's Kriya. That means that Pirsumanes takes on a new dimension. But perhaps you could say something totally different. That the reason why we'll have Shachiyonu Bayom is because of this special, unique mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That we have once a year a mitzvah of reading the Megillah as Torah, and it's an expression of fulfillment of in Yodo Shel Yom. And then, if you add the Me'iri to boot, the Me'iri says that Shachiyonu is on the Yom because of the Zman, so that would help me also as well, because the Kriyas HaTorah is Minyon Shel Yom, and through the Kriyas HaTorah I'm creating the Yom. I'm impacting on the reflection of the day. Oh. Now let me ask you the following question. How many people in this room are with me at 8:30? Only you? Oh, sure, you're the only one. Okay, so I'm going to have to direct this question to you. But maybe somebody else in the room can also answer this question. We have two nuschos of Birchas HaMitzvah. We have a Birchas HaMitzvah with a lamed and Birchas HaMitzvah with an al. The difference between them is that Lamed represents your classic Chovas Gavra with a Maisa Mitzvah, Lasos, meaning Laniach Tefillin, and Lisate Batzitzis, Leishe Basukah, etc., etc. Al refers to a Cheftza. For example, in the case of a Moel, the Gemara says that the bracha of the Moel cannot be Lomel, it has to be Al, because he can only make a bracha on the Cheftza, the entity of Mila. He doesn't have a Chovas Gavra. His Maisa Mila is not a fulfillment of Asher Kedsham Mitzvot Sevotan. La, with a la. So what would you say about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Should the bracha of Talmud Torah be with a lamed or with an al? Is the bracha on the Chovas Gavra or on the Cheftza Shel Torah? Well, what was Reb Chaim? Again, I want to go back to Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim tried to justify the woman is obligated to recite a bracha on Torah, even though she doesn't have any Chofetz Gavra, because of the Cheftza Shel Torah. And Reb Chaim insisted that on the Cheftza Shel Torah, we have to make a bracha. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra HaVagol Elokeinu. And Reb Moshe took it even a step further and said, anytime we read the Torah publicly, that it's only to create this entity called a Cheftza Shel Kriyas HaTorah Mitzvah. If that be the case, then given the fact that a bracha belamed reflects a Chovas Gavra, and a bracha on the Cheftza Mitzvah would be a bracha with an al, what nusach could be appropriate, or should be appropriate, for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Al. In fact, I'll give, if you don't know this, it may be news to you, the Rambam Shita is on Talmud Torah, make a bracha with an al. Al Divrei Torah. So if you go with Reb Chaim, it's very gishmak, it's very smooth. The reason why the Rambam requires a bracha with an al is because the bracha is not on the act of Talmud Torah as a kiyum of my chova, because again, in the case of Anisha, she doesn't have that chova, but rather on the entity of Torah. And the end of the bracha, according to the Rambam, is what? Divrei Torah. Now, he doesn't have lasok b'Torah. He has al divrei Torah. Maybe divrei Torah is the entity of Torah itself, and that's what the bracha is going to be chal on. So that would be a fascinating chiddush that I think Rav Moshe would buy into. Yeah, in the case of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, it's a little bit difficult to talk about Al and Lir, because then the bracha is a Birch Hashem HaPodoya. What do we say? Asher Bachus Hashem Asher Bach HaMonim Kol Amim, right? Asher Bach, so you start with Asher, right? You don't start with the Lamed or an Al, so therefore this discussion would be irrelevant. But let's say, I don't know what the din would be, but the Eved, if somebody would make a bracha Lasok B'Divrei Torah, Al Divrei Torah, because he got confused, would we require him to repeat the bracha? The answer is probably yes, but let's assume, just for the sake of argument, the answer would be no. Meaning, if let's say there was a Birchas HaTorah for Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, what would be the appropriate nusach? Would it be with an al or a lit? I think it would be an al, because again, it's not a chovas kriya, but rather it's creating an entity of Torah. It's the Cheftzah Shel Torah, and that would be with an al. Now here I want to add one little addition. Do we make a bracha after a mitzvah or only before the mitzvah? Only before a mitzvah, right? Right. But no, I mean over l'asiyos for sure. Maybe I wasn't clear. I meant to ask, do we make a bracha only before a mitzvah, or in addition to the bracha before a mitzvah, we make a bracha after the mitzvah? Only before the mitzvah. Just give me a few minutes. Rabosai, the floor is going to be yours. You can talk for another hour, but let me finish an idea, because otherwise I'm going to get totally derailed. Is that okay? Yeah. All right, good. Oh, so I have here, an article which I myself wrote, but it's based on the Rav Shi'urim, and I want to discuss one point in this article with you. One second. With regard to Talmud Torah, the Gemara wants to derive the mitzvah, before we get to Kishem Hashem Ekra, the Gemara wanted to derive the chiyuv of bracha, Birchas HaTorah, with a kal v'chomer from Birchas HaMazon. And the Gemara said the following: the Torah obligates me to make a bracha on what's called chaye shah means my physical enjoyment of satiation. Kol shkein, I should make a bracha on chaye olam. So the Rishonim ask, wait a second, if you're basing the bracha, the chiyuv of Birchas HaTorah on the Kal V'Chomer from Birchas HaMazon, then when should we be reciting Birchas HaTorah? After the Limud Torah. Why? Because in the case of Birchas HaMazon, once he reaches V'Savata, then he can make the bracha, and that's when he's obligated to make the bracha. Again, there's a bracha lefanel, but that's only the Rabbanan. As far as the mitzvah d'orais is concerned, that's only lachrea. So if you have a kavachomer, then at this point in the sugya at least, the Gemara should insist that the bracha on Torah should be after he's satiated from Torah, and means at the end of his limud, when he terminates his limud. So the Rishonim say the following, that we're not going to make the bracha on Torah lachrea, like we did in the case of Birkas HaMazon, because it's a mitzvah she'ein lo kitzvah, which means that it has no end. There's no point when you could say finito, curtains down, and we fulfill it and we finish, because we always have more to learn. Perhaps we could suggest the following: if the bracha on Torah is on the Cheftzah Shel Torah, then we need a well-defined Cheftzah Shel Torah. I can define the beginning of Talmud Torah, but I can never define the end of Torah, because it's Ein Lo Kitzvah, it keeps going and going. So therefore the bracha has to be transported to the beginning of the Limud Torah, which means now I have a definite starting point. So imagine you have bookends, right? So I know where the first book is. So I put a bookend over there, but I don't know. The books keep piling on, so there's no end. So I'd like to suggest the following: that the appropriate nusach for Birchas HaTorah should be Al Divrei Torah, right? Because we said, according to Reb Chaim at least, the mitzvah is and the bracha is on the Cheftz Shel Torah. But the problem is that if that Cheftz Shel Torah, like a Cheftz of Ochel, requires a bracha, then if you're deriving it from mazon, from achila, then it should be afterwards. But the only thing is that with regard to achila, I could say I finished my meal. And once I finish my meal, I have a chefta on which I can make a bracha. But in the case of Torah, I never finish my meal, my spiritual meal of chayolam, and therefore there's no chefta shel Torah at the end of the session, because even as the end of the session ends, I still have an obligation to continue. So perhaps we could say the following then: that when you have a mitzvah she'ein lo kitzvah, like Talmud Torah, and the bracha should be recited on the chefta, there is no chefta because it continues to grow and grow. It's like an endless, the mushrooms keep growing. Oh, now I can say the following: b'medvar mamurim, that's only with regard to the Talmud Torah v'yachid. When you or I are learning Torah, there's never a bookend that defines the kitzvah and the cheftz shel Torah, so it never ends. But in the case of a tzibur, when we are obligated to read the tzibur, the Rabbanan established that we have to read from X to Y. It's a darsh yesh lo kitzvah. We have to read a parsha, we have to read a perek, we have to read nine psukim, whatever the deal is. And therefore, it's not going to be sufficient to recite the bracha before Kriyas HaTorah. We need another bracha after Kriyas HaTorah. What do I want to explain? What's my goal here? Number one, to explain why this mitzvah, paradoxically, has a bracha not only for now, but even l'achareha. But number two, I want to say a chiddush in Mikra Megillah. Mikra Megillah is the only mitzvah that has a bracha not only lefanel, but even lachrem. And the Rishonim want to know what happens if he was mafsik between the Kriyas HaMegillah and the bracha. The bracha of Asher Ravis Rivenu Donas Dineinu. So many poskim write that if he made a hefsek, he can no longer recite the bracha. It means that the bracha lachreha is on the Kriyas HaMegillah. It's not sort of separate bracha of Asher Ravis Rivenu, give me the entire day of Purim and somewhere I'll fit it in. No, it's got to be attached to Kriyas HaMegillah. No, but you'll ask me, wait a second, we don't make a bracha lacha mitzvah. Where do you find? So if you're in a paradoxical situation, because you're telling me that this bracha was established on the Megillah, and therefore you can't be mafsik. Well, where do we find a mitzvah that requires not only a bracha lefanel, but a bracha lachreah? So what I'm going to suggest is that Kriyas HaMegillah is not just the kium of Mitzvah's Megillah per se, but it also has an element of Kriyas HaTorah. If it's also Kriyas HaTorah, then it deserves a bracha not only for now, but also l'achreah. And now it becomes a Dovah Sheish Bar Kitzvah, because we have to read the Megillah from Perek Aleph to Perek Tes and finish it up and gand it. Finito. And therefore it's a set entity of Torah, and on that set entity of Torah, I need a bracha l'achreah. So just like in Kriyas HaTorah, we have a bracha l'achreah based on this chiddush of the Gevuras Yitzchak, we should also have a bracha l'achreah on Kriyas HaMegillah. Again, you're free to take another approach and say that the bracha l'achreah has nothing to do to Megillah. We just organize it at that point because that's when everybody's there to do it. But if you go with those poskim that require that you recite that bracha immediately after the Megillah, no Shoshanas Yaakov in the middle, no Asher Heini, don't distract yourself. Because this bracha is on the Megillah, perhaps we could say the Megillah is a Cheftz Shel Torah, and whenever we create a Cheftz Shel Torah, we can make a bracha l'achreah. You'll ask me, so every time I learn whatever I'm learning, I create a Cheftz Shel Torah, shouldn't I make a bracha l'achreah? And the answer is no, because ain't lo kitzvah. And once it's ain't lo kitzvah, you can never define the bounds of the Cheftz Shel Torah. The Cheftz Shel Torah continues ad infinitum. But in the case of a tzibur, there the tzibur is obligated to read the Torah that has a beginning and an end. It's a Dovah Sheish Lo Kitzvah. Hence, I have a Cheftz Shel Torah. If I have a Cheftz Shel Torah, then the Gemara says, based on the Kal V'Chomer from Birkas HaMazon, I should make the bracha l'achrei. Sam?
The minhag is to roll the Megillah before you take it off at the end. That's not a hefsek.
Interesting. I don't know why. That requires a lot of... Does anybody say why? Do you want to look it up? Maybe the maybe the Mishnah Berurah will give you a little bit of an insight as to. I have a feeling it has to do with COVID.
COVID.
By the way, did you find anything about kavana that the Mechaber writes that the Kores and Megillah has to have kavana to be motzi me? Nobody found that.
So if it's COVID,
all right, I owe you one.
It's not masik.
I guess since it's part of the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. That's why we have to unravel the Megillah first.
Right.
But even then, the poskim say you're not supposed to unravel the whole Megillah. You should fold it underneath. But and the reason for that is also covered on Megillah. So all those dimensions, you know. And again, if we go with the Gevuras Yitzchak, that is an additional kiyum of Kriyas HaTorah, then we want to be very careful about the cover that we have to have for the Chefs. When I say Chefs Shel Torah, I don't mean Chefs Shel Torah from Chaim's terminology. What I mean to say is the Sefer itself. Yeah. The Sefer itself represents the mitzvah of Kriya. And if it does, you have to give kavod. Where do we find in Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur a kiyum of kavod? So I think, for example, you have two minhagim about whether to keep the sefer open when he recites his bracha. So my minhag, and that was my father's minhag, is that you dafka have to keep it open. But many people are very makpid to close it. If I'm not mistaken, the reason for that is kavod haTorah. That we don't leave a Torah exposed. When we're reading from it, fine. But you're just saying the brachas. At this point, you're not reading from the Torah.
I thought they had to do. You shouldn't think that I'm reading the brachas in the Torah.
So you look away.
I look away, but you keep it open. I look away. That it wasn't a din of kavod.
So it's not a din of kavod haTorah. It's just in order to make sure that the people understand that. Why is that so important? I'm wondering what.
Because that's what people do. Some people, they close it and they look away.
No, I'm asking a different question, Sammy. I'm asking, why is the halacha anguished about chas v'shalom? Somebody thinks that you're reading... No, I'm just wondering, there's some piece of the puzzle that's missing here. Why the halacha should be bending backwards, that you shouldn't...
One thing like this is that if somebody's mudah against you, that you shouldn't get hanah, and he reads Megillah, you're still yotzei.
Right, because Mitzvah Lehenos...
Maybe
you can apply Rav Moshe's logic here. If you assume that Kriyas HaTorah, it applies to Kriyas HaMegillah,
right.
That I'm not being netted from him, I'm being netted from the Chefs of Torah. He's not doing a direct act to be Mahanami.
Maybe.
Rav Moshe, are you interested at all in a little bit of Pachad Yitzchak?
Yes, sure.
Okay, just to give it a little bit of hashkafa. So let's see where we're up to here to make a note of it. We're up to Reish Ayin Gimel, am I correct?
Yes.
That's Simon Chaf Gimel. So let me see, anybody have a pencil here? I like to do it with a pencil.
Here you go.
Oh, thanks, I'll give it right back. Okay. Fine. You know, since we mentioned Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, because it's his yahrzeit today, I'll tell you a story. When Rav Moshe found out that his son, Rav Yosher Berel, who was all of 10 years old, was not doing well in his Gemara studies, because Rav Moshe tested him, and he found out that the Rebbe in the Cheder was more interested in teaching Tanya, because Chaslavich was a Lubavitcher town, than teaching a black Gemara. And you know, the Rav throughout his whole life always spoke about that Malama that taught him Tanya. In fact, in what's called Onset, is in Massachusetts, in Onset, the Rav used to teach the Torah of the Bala Tanya to his prime Talmidim. And the reason for that is because of that Malama that taught him, that developed within him a tremendous love for Chabad Chassidus. But Rav Moshe was not happy because, and Pesha Soloveitchik was even more unhappy. And she pointed out that our little son is not excelling in Gemara. Something's going wrong here in the city of Chaslavich. It's too many Lubavitchers over here. So she even complained to Hashver, to Rav Chaim, about this. So Rav Moshe took it upon himself to learn with his son, Rav Yosher Ber. However, as years go on, keep in mind Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was much younger. So as Rav Moshe's life became a little bit more complicated, he took on other positions outside of the city of Chaslav, and she didn't have that much time, and he needed to get someone who would be in charge of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's learning. And guess who he appointed? The Pakad Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak Hutner. In fact, Rav Yitzchak Hutner, when he established himself as Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin, he wanted Rav Aaron, one of his prime students, to come and teach in Chaim Berlin. I'm not sure if Rav Aaron actually ever taught in Chaim Berlin. That I don't remember. Okay, let's see what we can find here in the Pakad Yitzchak. I believe we've completed already the first two in Yonim. Am I right? What pages do you have? Yeah. Or shall we say what is in the handout that we gave most recently? What's the first page in the handout? The first page, not the last page. You don't know? I think we did Gimel. You should have a page.
Gimel.
Lamed Chet. Lamed Tet and Mem. Yes? Do you have page Mem?
Yes.
Okay.
No?
Maybe?
Wait. Yes, tell them right here. Yes.
Mem. So you have Mem.
Mem Aleph.
Great. Mem and Mem Aleph. So Mem and Mem Aleph is Inyan Hey. I will skip Inyan Dalet for the moment. And let's fast forward to Inyan Hey. And you have both Mem. Oh, wait. You have only Mem Aleph. You don't have Mem Beis.
Right.
Oh, okay. All right. So I may have to take a break and photocopy Mem Beis. We'll see. Let's play it by ear. The Rambam says something that's absolutely mind-boggling to the extent in which we have to reinterpret the Rambam. We can't take the Rambam kipshuto. And the Rambam writes in Perek Beis Mehilchus Megillah Alocha Yudches, Kol Sifrei Tanach Asidim Li Botel Chutz Mi Megillas Esther. No one knows exactly what the Rambam has in mind here, because one of the Gimel Ikrim is that the Torah will never be batel. But in any event, if you take a look at the first line here in Inyan Hey, he writes, Pirusham Shel Hadvarim Halalu Hu Kidala Halon. So what we're hoping for is that we'll get some insight into what the Rambam means when he says in Kol Sifrei Tanach Asidim Li Batel. We have to go back to the parsha of Mechiras HaBachor. And in that parsha, Yaakov Avinu adds one extra word. So this is in Bracious Chaf Hei, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, and he turns to Esav and he says, Mechra Kayom Es Bechoras Chol Li. So the word Kayom is superfluous. There are many, many answers to that question, the most famous of which is that day was the day in which Avraham Avinu died, and Esav was nowhere to be found. There was a tremendous funeral, and where was Esav? He was out hunting. So therefore, Kayom, when you've now finally proven and demonstrated beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're not interested in the Bechorah is meaningless to you as a spiritual and motif, then sell me your Bechorah. I'll give it to you for a price. However, the Pakad Yitzchak wants to take a totally different approach. And the word Kayom has a much deeper meaning. And he sort of dramatizes, he says, Hini Bazeh, I'm dedicating myself in this essay, Lefarish Es Teva Hazu, to explain what this Kayom is all about. He tells you that he's going to give you the answer to your question at the Sudas Purim, and there's a Tam, a very good taste that he has from the Sudas Purim, and he expects that the taste that you get from his explanation of the word Kayom is as tasty as the Sudas Purim. By the way, the problem with tasting the Sudas Purim I find for myself, and I hope you guys don't have the same problem, is that I nosh too much from the Mishloach Manos. And then by the time I get to the Sudas Purim, I'm not hungry anymore. So we really should be careful that, a lot of people like to wash in the morning of Purim, because then you get an extra Suda. I find that problematic because there's a whole issue in Poskim about Al Anisim. According to many poskim, you only recite Al Nisim once during the entire day. So if you go with those poskim, what are you going to do on the breakfast that you washed with a roll, you know, at 9 o'clock in the morning, and you don't start your suit until 2 or 3 in the afternoon? Where do you put the Al Nisim, according to those poskim? That's just saying on the side.
Maybe they intend to eat all day.
Yeah, but most people, they start the meal at 9 o'clock, and they finish it at 10. And then they start hopping around with Mishloach Manos. So they bench at 10 o'clock. And I'm just wondering, what do they do with Al Nisim? So apparently they rely on the poskim that say that Al Nisim you can recite, or you have to recite on every single Birkas HaMazon on that day. Hina Yaakov Omer Li Esav. Okay, now Yaakov promises Esav. You remember that Esav asks Yaakov to join him. And Yaakov politely steps aside and he says, this is in Bereishis Lamed Gimel, Adavo el Adoni Sa'ira. And this is considered a kind of a commitment on Yaakov Avinu's part to meet up with Esav in a place called Sa'ira. And the truth is that Yaakov Avinu never lived up to that obligation. And that's going to be part of the subject of this essay. He says, Dvarav shel Yaakov lo niskaimu me'ola. He never, in fact, ever came to Seira. Seira with a hey, a mapakei. Upirshu chachamim. Okay, this is going to be a Gemara, a Medrash in Bereishis Rabba. And the Medrash says that mikevan, we have a principle, i'efsha shiyese dover batal mipiv shel Yaakov, which, by the way, reminds us of what pasuk in Tanakh. It starts with the word titen. Excellent. Titen emes Yaakov. The Medrash doesn't quote that pasuk, but it's very appropriate. Yaakov personifies the meat of emes. So how can it be that Yaakov tells Esav a fabrication of the truth which he never lived up to? Well, he says, "Hari adara b'dvar malolu misparshim." What we really have to understand here, on a much deeper level, is that Yaakov will, in fact, live up to his commitment, but not in this world as we know it today, but rather the Achris Hayomim. And that's based on a pasuk in Ovadia, actually. Ovadia is made up of one perek, so you always know it's in Perek Aleph. And Ovadia Novi says, the Olam Oshiyim Lishpotis Har Esau, that Yaakov and his descendants will come to L'Seir, right, to be Shofet Esav Bahar Seir. So Shafal Pisha Yaakov Omer Li Esav Avo El Adoni Sa'ira Bistama, meaning the simple way that you understand Yaakov's commitment is in this world. Mikomakom Misparshim Heim Adaita Di Achris Hayom. And I think what the Pachad Yitzchak is trying to convey here is the nature of the existential reality of Yaakov. You and I, when we speak about today, in the very physical sense. Today means in the next 12, 24 hours. But Yaakov Avinu's language, because his whole mental, phenomenological experience is a different one, is that the time periods here connect us to a higher world. And the awareness of time relates to the Achris Hayomim. Umipnechen, b'shas knias ha-bechora, at the moment in which Yaakov purchases the Bechorah, Yeshnad Gasham Yuchedet, Shamachirat Yeh Kayom. He, Yaakov Avinu, has to go out of his way to emphasize that you're selling me the Bechorah today. Why does Yaakov have to add the word today? Because sometimes Yaakov Avinu speaks in terms that go beyond today, in terms of the end of time. Meaning that you'll come Seira. And what? And Akir, you'll implement this Liosid love on the Achris Hayom as Ovadia prophesies, therefore the Mechira, the Bechorah Shali. You know, I also could say, you know, wait till the Achris Hayom and Voltiskayim. Shalit is kaim when? Only Liachris Hayomim. So Yaakov has to come lafukit, and he has to tell Esav, listen, I'm talking to you about selling the Bechorah now, today. He's keneged bavlata, he is mavlit, he emphasizes the word kayom, and what that word kayom means is that I'm talking to you, Esav, in your view of the reality of existence. Namely, kayom means kayom hagonezes b'tochas ha'oket shediburav shal esav mukhrochim heimlus parish b'muvan shal hayom hazeh. Meaning when Esav responds that I'm selling you the Bechorah Hayom Hazeh, it doesn't mean in Achris Hayomim, but rather it means today. Why? Because Yaakov Avinu added this very explicit condition, Machli Esav Bechorah Kayom, today. He says, Diburav Shal Adam is Parshim Lefi Sharshal. It means, you have to understand the existential reality of a person, and that's very subjective. And that's how we interpret his words. So for you and I, when we say words, we're referring to this world. But from Yaakov Avinu, he's anchored in a different world, a different universe. He's anchored in Achris Hayomim. And therefore, Afilu Stimas Diburo, even when he's talking, you know, in a regular, nonchalant way, it really is referring to Achris Hayomim. Unless he goes out of his way to add the word kayom. Esav, on the other hand, has a different existential experience. He lives in which world? In this world. Olam Hazeh. I don't know if you were here with me when we discussed the partnership between Esav and Yaakov. You know, Yaakov offered Esav, you take Olam Hazeh and I'll take Olam Haba. And Esav was more than happy to agree. So Esav lives, he's absolutely anchored in this world. Ein lo chelek v'achris hayomim. And if you, whoever remembers Inyan Aleph, we said Achriso, what was the pasuk Achriso? Adeyove, right? That Esav will not participate in that tikkun of Achris Hayomim. Mm-hmm. So his chelik is Olam Hazeh, ain't lo chelik v'Achriso. Harei hadiburim shalo nirim heim rak baspakayu. We should only see from the perspective of Hayom, meaning today, and not from Lemachar, not from the perspective of tomorrow. Tomorrow meaning the end of days. What time is it? Is that... No, we're okay. Oh. So now let's look at Parshas HaMolek and let's look at Megillas Esther. If in Yaakov's barter deal with Esav, the secret word, the password was Kayom, and that was the key word, what's the key word in HaMolek, in the context of Melchemes HaMolek and in the context of Megillas Esther? It's the exact opposite. Instead of Kayom, it's Lemachar. So let's mention a few examples. The pasuk says in Shmos Yud Zayin in Parshas Bishalach, say vilachem ba'amolek lemachar. The word is lemachar, and in Megillas Esther it says lemachar ani karu la im hamelech. Okay, that's Haman speaking. Lemachar. Everything here is emphasized as lemachar. Now, the Gemara says in Masech Yoma on Daf Nun Beis Amid Beis that there's something unique about the word machar. Every other word in the Torah, yesh la hechrea. Hechrea means we understand exactly what it means. It has an objective meaning. The exception is the word machar. Machar, says the Gemara in Yuma, can lend itself to two interpretations. Machar can be literal, it means tomorrow, or machar means a machar liachar zman, a machar at the end of time at the achris hayomim. He says, "Sevi lachem ba molek machar." That's the pasuk in Mishalach, and this is God's command to Moshe Rabbeinu to go out and fight the battle against Amalek machar. And Anochi nitzav al rosh hagiva, I'll be there with you. So the word machar can be explained in two different ways. Oh, it either means lamala, or it means nimsheches lamata. And kachom u'kachom, he's quoting the Gemara in Yuma, machar zeh miyosan ha-mikrol she'ein le'mechrea. What does it mean, ein le'mechrea? Why does the word machar have no definite interpretation? And he says the following, Yisbar lefaneinu, I'm going to have to explain this to you, based on the fact that Megillas Esther over and over again uses the word lemachar. For example, lemachar ani karula imamelech, v'chadome. So again, if we did a word search for the word lemachar, we'll find it over and over again throughout the Megillah. Says the Maral Miprag, why the emphasis time and time again on lemachar? And he says the answer is that the whole thrust of Megillas Esther and its agenda, its goal is what's called Mapoloso Shalamolek. Do you remember we said this in the name of the Gaon, that Adlo Yoda, it's right. Apollo of Amalek. Now, Amapola of Amalek is always going to be Lamacha, because we have no way of destroying Amalek in this world. The Kach Omer, and therefore it says in Sefer Shmuel, Shehika David is Amalek Lamachras. Again, the word Lamacha, because we're talking about the end of days. And when do we destroy Amalek? Only at the end of days. So I'm also about halfway through this Maimer. Bli Neder, we'll have to conclude it tomorrow. When I say tomorrow, I'm not referring to the Achris Hayom until less than the Mashiach comes, and then it'll be Machal Achris Hayom.